Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to be my friend, you had better go and get a pen. And maybe we can keep in touch, like we did in the old days, it wasn't so long ago. And I wish you well, oh, sign your pen pal.
A little bit of controversy up top. Patrick Keenan stole that song from Milli Vanilli.
Really?
Folks. That's right.
Oh, you know
what? That's right.
Ooh, somebody just got home from work. That's my first joke.
Here's what I was going to ask you. Do you ever have a shirt on and
many times
something is like scratching you? At first you think it's a bug or something and you just kind of like try to fix it, but like something is like poking, like almost like there's a thorn in your shirt somewhere. Are you like me and you, even though you keep messing with it knowing you're not fixing the problem, you're not identifying the problem,
you're just trying to move
and
it
you
to
just
another,
keep going, yes. You go for 12 hours, yes. And don't ever do anything
this
about
is
it
how we live our life. I'm gonna push this around a little bit. I'm not gonna deal with it, but I'm gonna see if I can move it to an area where it doesn't bother me right now.
I'm going to shuffle this until maybe a thorn or a knife falls out of my collar.
The worst is when you try to deny that that's happening in your shoe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'll just move and you get my to a foot
and you go so
bit.
Long.
So long.
How mad are you? You've got the shoes tied up. Let's say a basketball game. You know when you've really tied your shoes?
You're laced.
And the very bottom starts to itch, and slamming your foot onto the court just does nothing. It can't get into the arch.
Roar. Look, this is going to be for the people who watch it, but you can also... Were you one of these kids? Ready?
No.
How many people do you think
I have
know,
done that?
How many Pennies and Fowlers know what I did without looking?
Yeah. Do you know what I, you know why I quickly became not that guy?
Why?
Because I accidentally did it twice in a row.
Oh. Okay, well, let's let everybody catch up.
Daniel's talking about the old school lick your fingers.
Run the bottom of your shoes, and then you do the like.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you get the like that.
You know what they had when I was in high school? They had a mat with like this sticky stuff on it, and you just stood on that and kind of stamped your feet around, and it kind of got
kind of got
the dust off your shoes. But and then you could take that strip off. It was almost like strips, Listerine strips.
Right.
You just take that off, and then you have another one. Also, Listerine. That doesn't sound like a mouth thing. That sounds like a toilet bowl cleaner.
Yeah, I agree.
And now, obviously, we'll edit that out if Listerine wants to do ads on our show.
Wait, you double?
We never thought that
you double dipped on the finger lick,
accidentally, and that kind of ended it. But I gotta say, it is gross,
But it works.
But it looks cool.
Oh my God, yes.
Like when a pitcher takes the glove off, licks his fingers and is like rubbing the ball, you're like, there are 8 million germs just went into his mouth and onto that ball. But God damn it, if it doesn't look like he's about to throw a strike.
When a boxer goes, like just a little, and you're like, they haven't hit anything. All they did is move their neck a little bit. Like,
and I'm already very scared.
Or we should rank, I mean, if we were all fantasy everything, we should rank best athlete warm-up moves. Because the swimmer one's pretty good, too. The swimmer one's good.
Pitcher
is solid, though.
You're talking about take the glove off.
Yes.
The also, especially after like you just threw a ball, you catch it.
You know who and else you, is good?
As you're turning around away from the catcher, you've taken it off. And you're like looking into the outfield and then you put him back.
You know who else is good, though?
Goddamn John Schmaltz.
The base runner leadoff. Pull the pants a little. Pull the pants up. Yeah. That's a good one, too.
Yeah. Sid Bream rounding third, play at the plate. Pirates lose.
I just did the boxer one better. It's the slight nose.
Like, but still, like even doing the,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't even know how we got there.
There isn't a path. There isn't a path. There's no path behind. Mm-hmm. There's only a path forward.
That's good, Rory. You're going to write a great book someday.
And it's just going to be sentences like that that don't actually work well together. Mm-hmm. People like this guy is
tie them together. It's like,
what did he write this on absinthe?
Wouldn't it be great if Stanley Kubrick just would have been like, I don't know, guys. Whatever. It just was number 237. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. What if Stanley Kubrick was like, I don't know. I kind of want to do a quirky comedy.
I've never seen Eyes Wide Shut. Is it that?
No.
Just a lot of nudity and masks, right?
There's always something deeper and more, and I really appreciate most of Stanley Kubrick's movies, but I am just, I'm not the guy to walk out of the theater going, I got it. I got the metaphor. No. Like I never do. This is why people are like, Rory, what do you like? I'm like, I liked Castaway.
Castaway's fucking great.
Yeah, but people are like, yeah, Castaway, it's just right there in front of you. And I'm like, that's the meal I came to eat.
Right.
I don't want hidden bites. Just tell me. Tell me exactly.
I would expect Tom Hanks to have this answer, and we'll have him when he's on the show soon. But like,
that's right.
What do you think his character learns? Nothing, right?
Well, but I'm saying that's kind of it's all about time, and he has no time. And then who did he become when he has nothing but he truly has nothing but time. Right. Yeah, he just has time. But before that, he had no time. It even opens with like him. He's giving a speech on time, and because that's why he works for FedEx and deliveries and on time and all that.
I guess that's why though I appreciated about what you were saying is it just kind of happens, and then we're not like we're not trying to climb a mountain here. That's a different movie altogether.
Yeah.
Hey, do we have anything we need to say to anybody? Let's see. We don't have any birthdays.
Hi, listeners.
We don't have birthdays.
Rory and Daniel. His birthday is. When does this drop?
The 10th.
No, there's no birthday. No birthdays coming up.
We're coming up on a year of this. A year of this.
But Quar started for me March 14th.
Right. Started for me March 16th.
Ha ha! I started before you. I was being safer.
Oh. I was on the road. Like I was being wildly unsafe. So were you. You just got home sooner than me.
I bailed. Well, the only reason I bailed is because Tool had to bail.
Right.
Tool's concert getting canceled. So me and Nick were like, we got to go home.
I asked the club every night. I go, are we doing shows?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Wait, yeah, what are you talking about? Of course.
Of course we are.
You know what I won't forget is that leading up to it, I had a show on March 8th in Spokane, Washington, and Scott Moran was with me, and we did our show, and Nick and I were selling merch at the merch table, and this was when people said, hey, wash your hands. Mm-hmm. So that's just what people were doing. And like literally, I'm shaking so many hands, I'm taking pictures, and Scott just keeps Purell in my hands every few people.
Me too.
And I'm not touching my face or my mouth. And I'm all I thought was, we're going to be fine. This is so easy.
Everybody's doing it.
And we're all, they want to be clean. He's giving some of them would put out their hands. He was Purelling them. And everyone's just like, look at us. Look how responsible.
Yeah, we get it. No, there's nothing to argue here, right? What's just science?
What are we? Yeah.
Nothing.
And then we went to see Tool the next night. And then we went to do our show in Portland the next night. And then we went to see Tool the next night. And then we drove to Boise the next day. And then we went we fucking flew home.
I will say this, for as hard as it's been, and I'm not trying to, but this is not a commentary on anybody else, but I am proud of us. That right up until it went away, we were doing what we loved. Like,
and I
say with care and love that I care for people who were like not in that position. Like right up to the end, you were seeing Tool and doing comedy shows. I was headlining in Austin. Like, it made it hard to have that all taken away, but at least we weren't like, man. I wish I would
have. There's a lot to come away with. I know. There's a lot to come away with, and it's not just individual gratitude. It's group gratitude. What are the things that, gratitude for what we all have, and hopefully it is a more awareness of what people don't have.
Yeah.
And I'm talking basic shit.
Of course. But one of the things that came out of this past year is, and it is a plug, but it's also great, is we found out like a way to do these digital shows for people that we hope live on in some way. I think they will, because we tend to do what we want to do, and we want to do this. So the next one's on the 27th. It will not be recorded. We've already gotten at least one letter. Feel free to send more. Put in the heading if you want it to specifically be for a non-aired Pen Pals live show get together and discussion on the greater topics or small topics of life. You doing some ASMR? You got roped into your own thing again.
It just feels so
good. I would
good.
Love to get a letter from somebody who's deep into the ASMR.
Yes. And I said that yes to try to,
I felt it. Yeah, I felt it when you said it.
I just want to know. What is ASMR, audio stimulation?
Ooh.
Daniel Rory. Audio stimulation Daniel Rory.
There's no D in there.
ASDR. I'm including you.
Audio
what is ASMR?
Stimulus.
Mr. Van Kirk Rory. Audio stimulus Mr. Rory.
I have no
ASMR.
Idea.
God, the way it hits the bristles of my stash.
All right, you want to go?
Shall we?
Yeah, hell yeah. Ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
And let's go to the letters.
What does he say after three?
Come with me.
That's all he says?
And you'll be in a world of palpitantriation.
That's good.
There's something there. Mm-hmm. In a world of written communication.
Oh, hey, we got the...
There it is. We're going to build on that.
It should already be up, but we got the all clear, by the way, to post that video of that acoustic... what was the song? Was it Jumper?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So everybody should have seen
Wish
that by now.
Wish you would write to me, my friend.
We can't
friend.
Do it.
I don't remember.
I know.
I can't.
Well,
I don't have the ability.
We still don't know how she did it.
Yeah.
Changing the words.
She's AI. Probably because she's AI.
Do you want to go or you want me to go?
Why don't you go? Let's you go.
Ready?
I am ready.
Dear pals.
I'm jacked right now. Go ahead.
I love it. Dear pals, I'll accept it. I write this letter as I officially cross over to a point where I have been a paler for as long as I had been a penny.
Can I tell you how dumb I am?
Hmm.
I don't even know. I can't do the math on that. Like, what is that even? Like, I know that makes sense.
Right.
But I'm saying this is how dumb I am.
I would say, like, they found the show 2 years ago. And for the first year, they caught up. And then for the last year, they've been up to date every time an episode drops.
Why was that so easy for you and so impossible for me?
I don't know. I had to create a hypothetical for it to make sense to me. That's got to be.
I think
be
you're
the
right.
Answer,
I think you're right.
At the same time,
I'll never be a detective. I'll never find that guy with those dogs.
We're still looking. At the same time, Petaluma, I am processing an altogether different threshold. My mother was recently diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. It has already spread to her lymph nodes, liver, and lungs. Despite the doctor's grim prognosis, she is a woman of deep faith, a faith I do not share, yet I'm extremely grateful for. She raised my sister and I alone and has smiled her way through one of the hardest lives I could imagine. She's going to leave this world as she walked through it, as a light in the darkness. She told me countless times that I became the man of the house at 3 years old. We were incredibly close. I was her buddy, her pal, and now she's leaving. I said all that to say this. There have been many thresholds in my life. I'm 39 and will be turning 40 in May. I remember when I turned 36 and I knew I had lived as an adult for as long as I had lived as a child. I remember when my wife and I became the longest romantic relationship of my life, and then when our marriage alone passed that mark. Most recently, I finished the first two issues of a comic book series it's taken me 15 years to complete due to my priorities shifting upon becoming a father. I'll leave a link below, but the series centers on the passing of what limited time we all have. I had two heart surgeries by the age of 14 and have always been aware of how I spend my time and if it's passing. These thresholds, whether joyful, encouraging, or even frightening, come to define us in a lot of ways. So I ask, what are the thresholds you've crossed that have shaped you the most? What ones do you hold dear? Which, if any, do you regret? I hope this letter finds you well. Tyrone. P.S. You can say my name. Thresholds.
Also, that link is borrowedtimecomics.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know who Tyrone's favorite filmmaker is?
Who?
Wes Anderson, easily.
You think so?
He knows the symmetry of so many. So much symmetry was brought up in this.
Yeah, this is true. But I like that idea of thresholds, right?
What if Tyrone is listening right now? Oh my God, they read my letter. His favorite filmmaker is Wes Anderson. No, it's not. Honey, turn it off.
I'm done.
New threshold. He has no time for it.
Right.
I turned it off for as long as I listened to it.
Interesting, right? That in our Castaway that we had not planned on, nor as it tied to this letter, we talked about time.
Time.
Although I think we talk about time a lot on this show.
I mean,
I think it comes
it
with...
It truly is everything and nothing.
But I think also you and I have a very, I think, similar feeling on time. Is this worth mm-hmm. my time? Are we having a good time? Guys, isn't this a great time? What's the best time I can have doing this?
Can I say, and this is in the vein of this letter, I there's a big part of me that hates that I'm like that.
Really?
There is a big part of me that loves that
you're like that and loves that I'm like it.
But I hate that it's all like, is that worrying. Here's a strange irony. Part? I feel like I waste so much time worrying if this is the best time we could be having.
Really?
Does that make sense?
Did you think that at all?
A lot of the time.
Did you really think
it's so hard to not say time?
Little do you know, that's the secret drinking word of the day.
I feel like I'm saying it all the time. Okay, go ahead.
Did you feel that way in Petaluma? Because you specifically were trying to create a good time. Everybody okay over there?
I'm glad to Petaluma. Isn't it weird how like the string starts going to different things? We just randomly said Petaluma and you're like, what about Petaluma? We tried to do the birthday. So I tried to throw a 38th. That was our 38th, wasn't it?
I have no idea.
I think it was the 38th, and we were in Petaluma for the festival, and I rented a really fun Airbnb, and I was like, oh, we'll just all go there and whatever. And you know, I think I did have a good time. But
were you worried about it though? That's my question.
Here's why. The group of people that were there, I didn't worry if they were having a good time. I didn't sit and go, but here's the difference. Let's say my sister would have been with us. Mm-hmm. I would have been worried. Are you having a good time? Like, I already know all the comics. And comics already all, we all just know.
We don't need much.
The deal. And if a comic said, I'm not having a good time, we would all go, well, then shut the fuck up and go, then leave. But if you have an outsider to that group, like a family member who maybe doesn't know the group,
sure.
I then, are you having a good time? I would be a little bit like that with Jordan if she were with me. Mm-hmm. Not completely, because I know that she knows most of the people.
Right.
But Petaluma, I did have a good time because I didn't feel like there was a need to like host. I merely just got the house and was like, well, here's the house. Now we're all just going to do it. There's a hot tub. There's a creek. There's games. There's this. There's that. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Who cares? So, watching. But I do hate how much time I waste wanting to make sure we're having a good time as opposed to just allowing things to just be what they are and quit putting pressure on hoping someone's having a good time. It's why we talked about this. It's why I truly loved the first time I went to a concert by myself. I didn't know how good of a time it could actually be by not having to hope someone else is having as much fun as I'm having.
Right.
Because I live in this world of going, it isn't fun for me if I think it's not fun for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can't be oblivious to another person's feelings.
Yes. I know that I think, and this is totally random, but I think that's what always confuses me. I know that this is not necessarily how people's brains operate, but when I hear about sexual assault, mm-hmm. I think about that and I go, it's so crazy for me because the joy that I get that interaction
is
knowing that they are having a good time. And I put a pressure on myself to go, am I good? I mean, you could even ask my wife now. We've been together forever. Mm-hmm. And I'm still like, I hope this is good.
Let me get her down here. I'll ask her right now. You mean that? I'll ask her right now.
Go to her blog. Go to her blog. It's never been great. It's never been great.com.
I'm meh on this.com.
My husband's meh in bed.com.
Because in that's says it all. That's my always thing in the sexual assault stuff. It's like you're either.
And I know, and also before you go into this, I don't want to oversimplify what sexual assault is.
No.
I just mean a specific
right
subsect of some types of sexual assault where someone is like, well, I really wanted to hook up with her, so I just decided to. And you're like, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's my
thing. I know there are so many categories, and obviously, if you know Daniel and I, no disrespect to the trauma that is this topic.
But I think that's my always takeaway is like, if somebody's like, well, I couldn't tell she wasn't into it. I'm like, okay, either A, you're either the dumbest person in the world, which is almost impossible, or you're lying and you're evil.
Which is because you're evil.
You were in for, that's the energy you wanted.
Yeah,
you wanted that energy. And
truly
so in a completely separate circle of discussion, that's the way which you and I both are, where I'm like, if you aren't into this, I cannot be into this.
Then I can't be.
It is impossible.
Yeah.
I am like,
yeah.
Well, we're done.
Hey, I will even go further. Someone could say, Rory, that woman really likes you. And I would still go, no, she doesn't.
Yeah.
I actually go the other. I go so far. I go to the other direction of, no, she wants to hook up. And I'm like, nah, she just said that. She doesn't like me.
I mean, we've lived our lives, right? I've had people be like, would you hook up with that girl? I'm like, I don't even know if she likes me. And they're like, what? I'm like,
go talk to her. Go talk to her. Are you
crazy?
What would I say?
I don't even know if I like her.
I'm barely looking in that direction. Talk. Oh my God.
But
who are you? Frank Sinatra? No way I'm going to talk.
But we have to. So we have two things to come back. So first of all, I think you and I, yes, it can be detrimental, but I think we have a very similar outlook on time. Like I told somebody when talking about the vaccine, I said in a sort of an offhand way, I said it in like a fun response text. I just wrote like, love that we're getting closer to the new good old days. But that is 100% how I feel all the time. Like fucking Carly Simon, where she keeps singing, these are the good old days. Like, I look around at certain times in my life. I remember I was at a bar that had all these like young, super young, like just trying to figure it out. Didn't have enough money for Burger King comics, right? And I told them, I was like, you guys are in it. This is the best. You're going to love all this. Like you're going to look back and be like, this was worth it. This was so great. And and they were like, what? And I'm like, no, you're it. Like,
I've told people that first 3 years.
Yeah.
You don't understand that first 3 years is you're not trying to play the same game. You don't know what you're doing. And you think that you're like, I wish I knew what I was doing. Like, you don't know what
24.
You don't know what it is. And you want to, you're so hungry. Right. You'll never be hungrier than those first 3 years.
So I think that brings it to right back to this letter then, Roar.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there was a threshold in your stand-up where you felt like... So for me, I look at thresholds like when times in your life when you physically can feel the book of your life turning to the next chapter. Like a big Hold threshold.
On. Go ahead. One thing. Also, just so you know, Tyrone, and I feel like this is just sort of who Daniel and I are, it almost goes without saying, we're heartbroken over this scenario for you. Like, your mother.
I was working backwards.
We work backwards, but obviously, before we go any further, if anyone's listening, God, these guys aren't even addressing it. We're obviously heartbroken, but I will tell you, the way that you've written it and who your mother seems to be, it honestly makes me feel good. Like, she fully understands and accepts that she's just going to pass to the next thing.
Right.
As we will all do. And she is just accepting that this is the time that she is going to do it. And as sad and as truly sad as it is, the fact that you've written it like this and described her like this, it honestly feels so grateful that I think it's almost like it felt unsaid to be like, obviously I'm sad, but it sounds like she's really accepting it really and well. Also, I don't know.
I would say it was written in a way that Tyrone didn't even want that to be the biggest takeaway from the letter.
I agree. Yeah.
I will say personally on that topic, as somebody who's lost a person to pancreatic cancer, it's also one of those things, like once they tell you, like it's, you're done. Like, just, you can throw away the calendar because we're just, next year doesn't really matter. For as long as Alex Trebek was able to have that diagnosis and fight on,
which is insane.
In my life, it was a family member who they were like, probably like a year, year and a half, 3 months gone. So I'm sure there's also some, that's probably part of the way that Tyrone was able to write this, and everybody grieves and processes and feels differently. I'm not casting any sort of like, that's the way to do it. He should be that way or she should be that way. But you do quickly this is what's happening. So life's going to keep going here.
Yeah.
And I just know that very personally and intimately.
Sorry to cut you off.
Dude, pen pals is no cutting off.
I glanced back over the letter and I was like, wait a second.
There's no, you know what pen pals is like? Pen pals is like a bicycling team. We might be going around a bend where you need to jump out in front for a little bit. There's no cutting off. We just are constantly switching positions.
That's a great way to put it.
Thanks, buddy. So, so for me, a threshold kind of always feels like, oh, you've definitely turned the next chapter. And I think one of my biggest thresholds was the day I left Aunt Connie and Uncle Ken's house in my Pontiac Grand Am to drive here to LA.
Los Angeles.
Yes. And I could I'd never lived outside of Illinois ever in my entire life.
Yeah.
And so I could feel that threshold. And I had no money, and I had $72. I did not know what I was going to do. I did not know how anything was going to pay up, but I just had this feeling of like, this is the right decision for me, which I always believe is the right call, because even if you do end up failing, you're not going to be able, you don't have to worry about going back and be like, oh, I knew I shouldn't have done it. No, you knew you should have done it, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
No regret. Yeah. So... for you, do you feel like there was a comedy threshold when you were like, was it around that 3 year mark where you were like, oh, I'm a comic. This isn't something I want to do anymore. I'm doing it. There's a threshold here that I've gone through.
Yeah. As far as the first time at least in relating to specifically with stand up, I opened for Bobcat Goldthwait at the DC Improv, in June of 2004. Mm-hmm. I emceed, and I started in March of 2004. Mm. And I won a contest, so I got to emcee for him. Wait, June. It might have been in September, because June feels very fast. But it was in the fall, and I got to emcee. And it made me go, being at the club, being a part of an official show, which felt like, you know, you could have told me that was Radio City Music Hall. I probably, if I were ever to perform at like Carnegie Hall, I bet you it will feel the same as it felt when I emceed at the DC Improv for the first time. That same thing. It doesn't matter. The ratio is the same to where you're at and what you're doing. And I bet you it would feel like that. But I was blown away and I was like, oh, I'm doing the thing that I want to do. And then, you know, when I quit my job and decided I was going full-time stand-up.
That's such a scary feeling.
And so scary. And I went out and I toured Canada and I was genuinely, I was just terrified of like, it wasn't so much like, well, what if I end up not having any money? You know, I knew I wasn't going to have any money. I mean, doing that pursuit is enough money. Right. But I think, and this is maybe the most profound, one of the most profound thresholds of my life was crossing that threshold. You know, I was afraid going out that I would maybe now have to find out that I'm not good enough to do this. Mm-hmm. And that was like a fear inside me. And I did stand up every night at various shows, some official weekends, some just open mics, some mics in Calgary, different cities in Canada, from September, right after Labor Day, up until the end of November, coming back and doing the Seattle Comedy Competition. So almost 3 straight months of doing stand-up, truly, almost every single night for 3 months. And I came back fully empowered to know that not only am I good enough at this, I'm very good at this, and I can do this. Mm-hmm. The amount that I figured out in those 3 months changed me forever. And as far as like a big threshold in my career, I would say that one for sure.
Aren't you and Jordan getting close to you knowing her for more of your life than the amount of your life you didn't know her?
Yeah, we've been together away, right? February. Maybe. So a couple weeks ago was our 16 years since we first were like officially a couple.
But you knew her a year or two before that?
A little bit. Yeah. I knew her for a little bit.
Dude, you were almost like friends. You're a few years away from like, I've spent more of my life with this person than I did without them.
Well, not entirely.
You guys broke up?
We're at 16 years with her, and we broke 40 up last night. And also, we're off and on right now. I'd say I'm 8 years away from that.
Wow, that's still.
Which is crazy because also it just things, you know, the patterns in your life of things that just become the things, you know, you just start, reality just shifts and changes and, right. and who you are and what you think and what you care about. And all of these things change to the point where it's so weird to not look back and be like, well, Jordan and I have been together for a long time. It almost is like, well, I don't even remember who I was before.
Right.
I don't know what that was like. I don't know what it was like before.
Yeah.
This.
You also
I can't
aren't
remember
that person.
It. Elliot is 5 and a half. I can't totally remember what that felt like for when she wasn't here. Mm-hmm. When it was just me and Jordan, I don't totally remember what that dynamic was.
Right.
Because that dynamic is obviously
well, that's
now
another
different.
Big
There's three of us.
Right? Like becoming a dad. Like
nah, not really. Nah, doing stand-up. Oh, my greatest funny. Threshold was shifting from MC to feature. Oh, and I have a daughter.
Once you get the hummus plate for free, like you realize what you're in it for.
The other comics look at you differently.
They look at you a lot different. Like you give them your carrots.
Yeah, they look up to you and you go, have some of those carrots. Have some of that celery. You share, you know?
Right. I mean, is it... I will say for Tyrone, like, I think... I don't really is it quantify my life that much? Not to like nothing disparaging to like him or anybody who does, but like there's like three or four things about like listed here where I was like, I've never even thought about it.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think
you mean like sort of earmarks in your life of things. You don't look back and see those earmarks as clearly as Tyrone documented them. And I think that's because of that those two heart surgeries at age 14. I'd be willing to bet the Tyrone's perception of how much time he'd be alive came, you know, I bet when he turned 20, it wasn't just like, oh, I've been alive for 2 decades. He's like, I'm at 6 years. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're starting to think past the surgery, how long you've been going. And so you start, I bet you just start earmarking, and who knows, this is me taking a wild swing, but maybe you just start earmarking a lot more because you've had this thing happen. Do you know what I mean?
Do you ever think about at what age you will undoubtedly have to say to yourself, I'm an old man?
I think it was 38, I think 2 years ago.
Shut up.
Yeah, I wonder because you...
74?
Physically, I definitely feel aged. I've never felt... I don't know if we've said this on the show. I've never actually felt my age till 38.
Oh, I still don't.
Oh, I'm there. 38, I'm there.
Really?
Up until 38, I always thought I was 23. And then at 38, my body and mind...
You look 23 right
now. They synced up. They synced up, and my brain goes, oh, we are 38.
But let me ask you this. So you got 15 years out of 23. Don't you think you might get 15 years out of 38?
Wait, what do you mean 15 years
like, out of 23? Like, what if 23? You won't feel older than 38 until you're 53?
Like, no, I do feel, I feel 38 now.
That's what I'm saying.
So, no. I know that. What I mean by that is my body and mind caught up. I now feel 40. Everything is, I no longer think I'm 23.
But
I thought I was 23.
But don't you kind of think you'll be what you are right now for the next like 10 years?
Physically?
Yes.
Personality wise, I will always be 23.
Of course. You can laugh all you want, but I don't think that's a joke.
When we have our 25th, 40th, I will still be 23 when we have our 25th, 40th. Yes. By the way, and also that brings me over to our lotto numbers. You know, Dan and I are starting to pick them out. It's going to be 254023. But I just physically, and there's it's my own issue. I'm not as physical as you. I don't take care of myself as well as I should physically. And my goal when it's safe.
You look good.
And I'm going to be hitting the soccer field. I'm going to be hitting the basketball court. I'm going to be getting myself in better shape.
But don't you think?
And then from there, maybe I go, actually, I do feel younger and feel better.
But don't I think that there's markers in each person's life where, like, yes, your body is growing at a rapid rate for the first 15 years. And then it kind of grows for the next 10 years. And then from 25 to like 40, 45, you're going to kind of control how old or young you feel. And then from like 45 to 65, it's all just kind of like, well, what are you doing to yourself? You could be 47, you could be 62 and kind of still be like, there's these windows of like the number doesn't really matter. It's kind of like, where have you put yourself in the spectrum of that age range?
Well, I think all that's health though. I think it's all
100%.
Are you eating right? Like, I'm not eating right. I'm not sleeping great. I'm not physically active. I'm not doing all the things that contribute to probably not feeling 40.
Like Rosemary Van Kirk is about to turn 91. I'm telling you.
RVK?
Yes. She might as well be, I don't know, 81, 78. Yeah. The number doesn't really matter. And then I have other people I know who are in their mid-60s and might as well be 78.
I know what you mean.
And so it's kind of like, I think we just
Jordan's grandmother was like that. She was still gambling in Vegas. She was still driving herself.
Rosemary just decided to stop. Rosemary passed
blows
the test at 90.
Blows my mind.
She passed blows the driver's test at 90.
It blows
was just like,
I
just don't feel like driving anymore.
And you shouldn't. You've done it.
Yeah.
You've had enough.
Right.
Cut her off.
Well, the amount of times I've had to say that to Rosemary. Well, to somebody else. Cut her off. We're not doing this with her again.
We're not doing this. No. I'm not doing this tonight.
No.
RVK, we're not doing it, RVK.
More goddamn screwdrivers in a hardware store. That's enough, Rosemary.
Yeah, I I don't know. I don't know what I'll physically feel like, but I do love the philosophical like things about time. I love thinking about time and what time is. And I actually have a quote here.
It's weird because it matters.
I don't have it here. The thing is, the thing that I read is it was a Hunter S. Thompson quote.
Okay.
And it somewhat relates to this in an obscure way, but it was essentially saying something like, how could you ever be the same person that you are when your entire timeline of your life, and I'm butchering this, but the entire timeline of your life is having different experiences and meeting different people and doing so many things that it would be impossible to stay the same person as opposed to a person that's changed
right.
by all these events in your life. And I found it to be, I'll post it up on the Pen Pals page, but I found it to be so interesting about how we live our lives. And
yeah, I mean, I love these thresholds and we'll get out of here, but like, have you seen 25th Hour yet?
Mm-mm.
There's just this huge thing about a threshold of like, you want to go this way, you want to go that way.
Yeah.
And I don't think those things are like ever too late.
Yeah.
And I think that you and I come from a place of like wanting to make the most out of time that mm-hmm. I'm kind of constantly aware of them. So I don't have these huge ones because I'm kind of constantly in check of them. So
yeah. Yeah.
I love this letter, Tyrone. Thinking about you and your mother, and I hope that whatever it means to her, or whatever it means to you, or whatever it means to me or Rory or anybody else, the passing of whatever we are now as energy is a beautiful one for her and to the next thing.
Cheers
that
to the
is.
Next. Cheers to the next.
Agreed. And just remember, I don't know what you guys believe in or what book you read, but energy.
Dan Brown. Go ahead.
Energy cannot be deleted. It always goes somewhere. It can't, it's energy. So thinking about you and your mom's energy. All right. We wish you well, Tyrone. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk
and Rory Scovel.
Hey, do you miss traveling with your besties like in Girls Trip? Do you miss going to huge family gatherings like in Soul Food? Do you miss meeting the parents like in Get Out? Well, actually, no one misses that. But you can still do all of these things with me, Desmond Thorne, on my podcast, Adventures in Black Cinema. Each week, I take you on a journey through a new black film, how it relates to the culture, and sometimes how the themes relate to my own life, so there's always a little tea and a slight bit of embarrassment. And of course, as a filmmaker myself and one of the blackest, film nerdiest film nerds like ever, you're always in good hands. Adventures in Black Cinema with Desmond Thorne, executive produced by Amanda Seals. New episodes every Tuesday on all major podcast platforms.
When was the last time you did something just for you? Discover your summer essentials with FabFitFun, the best subscription box service delivering full-size self-care and wellness products delivered straight to your door. Their experts carefully pick from top trending products for you to personalize your own box of happiness. Just choose your plan and get ready for the best in home, fashion, beauty, wellness, and so much more. So whether it's the perfect beach blanket, a handy wine chiller, or aloe vera gel, FabFitFun has you covered for all of your fun in the sun needs. You'll get to choose some of the products to go in your box while the rest are a surprise. Plus, you can access other perks like flash sales and new items up to 70% off. FabFitFun is more than just an incredible value. It's me time in a box, all about the brands you love, the brands you will love, and doing something that's just for you. Visit FabFitFun.com for 50% off your first box while supplies last when you use code TALKSHOW. That's FabFitFun.com, code TALKSHOW.
Hey, y'all, this is where we read the ads, but it's also where we read small business ads. So if you're hearing this and you have a small business, write us about it.
Get on it.
And then maybe we'll talk about it. You don't even have to give us free stuff, but you could.
And we're back, folks.
I love it.
Daniel, Vaniel, Rory, Maury, Scory with you. Top of the hour.
Coming at you.
Coming at you. You ever that? Hour.
Radio's always coming at you.
Coming at you.
Coming at you from the big WDVK.
Yeah.
5,000 watts and nothing but good vibes.
I'm joined by DVK in the booth here today, and we're talking about his shows at the
I can't wait.
Comedy Castle.
I cannot wait to hear your first, I will find it online, your first morning radio back in the world. They're going to get it all.
I thought you meant one of my very first one of all time ever. And it's like, I guarantee you can hear my voice shaking.
When you, I mean, maybe it'll be the two of us. Who knows? Who knows what it'll be? But yeah. Doing morning radio. And
the next time I do morning radio after this, I'm doing radio voice back at them.
Yeah, you are?
And when they go, when they start talking, we go, you know, and it really has been a lot of fun. And we've had fun at the shows, and we're going to have fun tonight. We're going to have fun tomorrow. We're going to have fun on Sunday. That's what we're going to do.
This is it. This is it. 8:15 here at the Windy City. It's going to be a hot one out there today. Don't forget, though, we do have those thunderstorms rolling in tonight. So if you got that umbrella, take it with you. Otherwise, you're going to be trying to steal one on the subway. Rory Scovel is in studio with us. He's doing two shows tonight. What was it at? Let me look at it here. North Bar on North Avenue, north at Ashland. He's doing two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night. Rory, are you excited to be back here in Chicago?
Rory Scovel coming at you here. It's actually 8:16 now, and I happen to be at North Bar, and it is fun to be back in town. We have had quite a good time. We had a show last night, and if you missed it, do not worry. There are more tickets, and there's more shows. We're going to go to caller number 9 now and see if we can get some tickets. See if we can give away some tickets to some listeners out there, folks. Here we go.
Caller number 9. It's 9. It's 8:17 here. I'm stuck right now on the Eden's Express.
Everybody has radio voice.
Yeah, even they have it. Dear pen pals, long time paller, first time penny. Did I get that right?
No. Nope.
I think I like it. I don't get it, but I like it. Here's my situation. I'm in my 50s, married 25 years. Symmetrical. Symmetry.
Mm-hmm.
We have a 13-year-old with autism, and he is a completely awesome dude. I still love my wife, and I think she feels the same way about me. She doesn't tell me, but she's still here. So yes, I guess. 6 years ago, I started doing something again after giving it up 30 years ago. Please don't start betting if it's stand-up comedy. It's not stand-up comedy. Okay, it is comedy, but just hear me out.
Okay.
Insert mindless meandering Wyndham Hill style piano music. I would if I could, but I don't know what that is.
I don't mean that Wyndham Hill style.
I don't know. Why did I give it up 30 years ago? I was assaulted by 6 drunk dudes after an open mic for telling a hacky joke about Jesus. 3 broken ribs, brain swelling. They tuned me up good. Now I battle PTSD and stage fright to this day.
Whoa.
Very clear.
You ever thought you were going to get in a fight?
Bill Hicks joked about that. They're so forgiving, those Christians defending Jesus. Truly using violence to defend Jesus is so... Like, I don't know how dumb you'd have to be.
So dumb. Do you ever think you'd get in a fight at a show?
I did. I did think that I would.
Okay.
Had plenty of hecklers that really... you go back and forth... And then you get to a certain point in the going back and forth where your brain is like, this guy might have a gun. You know what I mean? You just start to hear the tone and
what's
not
the
backing
setup
down. And
where you're getting heckled, Roar?
What do you mean?
Is it your material or is it crowd work?
Sometimes it's material. There was one guy who did a joke and this guy yells out, he goes, not funny. And I go, and I tried to roll with it. I go, well, it is funny if you picture, I was like explaining it. I go, it is funny if you picture so-and-so and so-and-so about it. And he goes, no, it's still not funny. And I go, was the show not funny? And he goes, yeah, it was not really that funny anymore. And I go, well, I mean, we are sitting here getting to like drink beer and hang out and do whatever we want in this room.
Right.
And there's so many troops overseas that are fighting and risking their lives so that you can have the freedom to get up and fucking leave. Like, why are you still here?
It's great.
And then the crowd was cheering, and it was like, truly, I went into it. I was like, truly, what? It like you don't like it. I don't care that you don't like it, but why not leave? Right. Why stay to go, I don't like this? Like, look at yourself. Try to go through that lens and look back at yourself and know that people in here are liking the show. I know they're like, I know when I'm bombing.
Right.
I was like, and I know I'm not bombing right now.
Right.
But you don't like it. So why don't you just leave? Why do you need me to know that you don't like it? And then, you know, you could break it down to be like, well, I want to hurt your feelings and I want to affect you and affect the show.
Right.
And I've told hecklers before who say stuff like that, where people go, you suck. I go, honestly, you know, at a certain time in my career, that really would have crushed me.
Right.
I was like, but I'm already past knowing that I don't suck. Like, there was a time when I thought I did.
My thing, Roar, is I would go, I haven't had anybody do that to me. But like, I'm sure they've thought it. But like, I would be like, I believe you think that. So now what do we do? Because what does it say about you if you stay here and you think I suck? And also, what is everyone else in this room going to think about you as a person when you've told them, like, this guy sucks, but you stayed? You kind of have to leave, right? Because if you don't...
You don't even need to get thrown out.
Because if you don't leave, everybody's going to think that either A, you're too scared, lying, or B, you're a liar, and you don't think I suck.
And you love it. That, dude, that's a great angle. And I'll tell you what, folks, in the new world, I cannot wait to steal that from Daniel Van
Kirk. Rory, I've said this for 2 years with you. I am happy to do the same bits that we create together and let audiences deal with that.
Wait, we heard this guy last week. No, this is a different guy. I heard that joke. I know I heard that joke.
Because if I do suck, and even if you're right, how come no one else is leaving? We're at a real impasse here, aren't we?
Yeah. Because honestly, if anyone does think I suck, please, you can go.
But you could stay because you haven't made the proclamation he has that we all know about how
you
he
get
feels.
To hide.
He can't hide.
But not that he can't
he
hide.
He can't hide. Even if he's
what
with
do you guys
friends.
Think? Do you think he leaves? Do you think he leaves?
Imagine, I don't know if you're here with friends. We don't get to keep talking about it. But if you are here with friends and you don't leave, they're going to wonder the whole rest of the night.
And then you could go, let's do a poll. Who here thinks he's strong enough to leave? And who here thinks he's weak enough to stay?
Now you're
in that dude's head. He's like, well, I'm strong. I'm getting out of here. I'm strong.
And then when he does worry, you all be like, guys, do not be upset. Applaud this man.
Yeah.
Because
this guy had the courage.
He stands by what he believes. Yeah. In fact,
let me clap the first clap.
Oh.
In fact, you know what? I'd like to pick up everyone's tab who stayed as the guy's leaving. Did anyone get a babysitter? How much was it? I'd like to cover that.
Oh, Lord. We got to get back out there.
I'd like to cover the babysitter. Did anyone pay for park? How much was it? Come up to me after the show. I'd like to get that.
Mm.
All right. 6 years ago, I went back up. That was a real sandwicher right there. 6 years ago, I went back up for the first time. Since then, I've performed about 3,000 times.
Wow.
That's more than I've ever performed my whole career.
Yeah.
Like most comics, I sucked real bad at first, but kept doing it despite making loads of mistakes. Now I don't make as many. We got a lot of stuff crossed out here. I'm going to skip it.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has seen me perform twice. She says she doesn't like my comedy. She also has not tried to stop me from performing. Not really until lately. Boom, boom, boom.
Ooh.
The thick of it.
Mm-hmm.
Things changed a little over a year ago when she got an amazing opportunity in a large city in the Midwest. Soon after we moved here, I quickly found yet another job in software and immediately started performing stand-up several times a night. After a couple months, I was getting attention and even booked a few hosting and guest spots. Then COVID and quarantine. Since then, nothing but writing every day and occasional Zoom shows. Live, indoor, or outdoor shows of any kind are not allowed. Why? I can't be specific, but my wife travels a lot and works closely with sports VIPs domestically and internationally. Despite being vaccinated, she is tested for COVID almost daily because she can't risk exposing these people to the virus. Here's the rub. Okay. Because of that, and because I haven't been able to get to the vaccine yet, she doesn't want me performing on any indoor or outdoor shows at all. No guarantees that I can do them later either, even after I get the shot. Maybe I'm being too understanding, but I follow her wishes. I am losing my mind over this. After we moved here, my comedy, quotes, career, actually started going somewhere for once. Now I'm stuck and not getting chronologically younger, but I have an idea. I could leave or move out. It's a big swing here.
That does technically count as an idea.
That counts as an idea. My logic sort of feels on point. If I moved into an apartment or townhouse, maybe it gives me enough space to do live shows and keep my family safe at the same time. When I think about it, I feel like a selfish monster. In an early Pen Pals, Daniel was strongly opposed to breaking up families with young teenagers. Rory, I don't remember what you thought. What if he's like, Rory, and I've never liked your opinions.
Rory said everyone should get divorced.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, Rory, I don't remember what you thought, but you're a dad. So asking either of you my question makes me nervous. If you had a family and had spent decades supporting them by doing something that paid well but rarely felt fulfilling, then found the thing that totally drives you but couldn't pursue it because of your family situation being similar to what I described, what would you do? Thank you for reading what feels like a long letter. I am a longtime fan of both of your work, and I really enjoy the silly seriousness you both bring to the show. Sincerely, Luca Tomadic. Not my real name. I like that.
Probably
I like that.
Anagram.
I bet that's an anagram.
Palindrome? I don't remember. Onomatopoeia. So can I address something real quick?
Yes.
We talk about a lot, but we don't remember what we said. I think at one point we had some sort of boy band that started with all P's. I barely remember.
Pen Pals.
So...
Shanley does know. And that's what honestly impresses me.
I don't remember advocating for people staying together in any scenario despite the children's ages.
It doesn't sound like something you'd say, but
it also does.
I don't remember anything at all.
Right. I've always stood on this. Get a divorce for the right reasons and clue your children into the fact that this is about making sure you're happy for the right reasons.
Pause right there, Daniel. Can we put an edit note on me saying not my real name? I probably shouldn't say that. We probably should cut that part out, right?
Okay. Yeah. 54, yeah. 45, 42 on my end. No. So I don't remember that. But anyway, I just wanted to clear that up because I can't, as a child of divorce... Multiples, actually. All of them were great. They should have happened, despite my age. Those two people didn't need to be together anymore. Now, that has nothing to do with how I feel about this specific, which I'm not saying it does or doesn't. I'm not indicating how I feel yet. I'm just saying that doesn't have to deal with this.
Rory. I mean, this is saying I love my wife and I still think she still loves me, too. So there's a dynamic here where maybe... I think maybe what I'm having trouble with is I'm actually having trouble picturing what the dynamic of these two people is, because
a lot of people
he loves her and I assume she probably still loves him. And I assume despite her not liking his comedy, I totally get that. Right. I totally get it. Being like, well, your sense of humor is different from mine. Doesn't mean that's what defines our connection.
Right.
I come from comedy. So, if my wife did not like my sense of humor, there's no possible way we could exist in
this relationship. You wouldn't have gotten this far.
It's impossible. It's truly impossible.
Agreed.
Yeah. So you guys clearly have a connection. You have a child of teenage years, whatever you said, 13 years old. And obviously her job, it sounds like it's merely for safety.
Right.
Because these indoor-outdoor shows, even after the vaccination... There's still going to be some lag time on what that becomes once everyone is back. There's going to be a wait, I think. I don't think everyone's going to be like, and now we jump all back in. I don't think that's what's going to happen.
No, there'll be a gradual ramp.
And I understand per her job, it's like, hey, look, this is my job and I got to make sure I'm keeping the clients safe. Sure. They have a trust system and they've hired me. And so I have to make sure I'm being careful. But I will say, the moving out seems extreme. And it also makes me wonder, well, how often will you get to see them if you have to quarantine away from them now? So there's a lot of variables in there that would, that if I knew the answers to, would maybe affect how I feel about this. But I got to say, my presumption is that you won't really have to do that. I think by the time it's safe to actually do in-person shows again, your wife won't have to be in fear of possibly getting infected and passing it on.
But this
does that sound about right?
But yeah, but here's...
Don't move out for Zoom shows.
But that's what I'm wondering, Roar. Like, are you trying to make the fit, the foot fit the shoe a little bit here? Like, do you... Because he like says, I'm going to move out so I can do shows. But then he brings up like you and me talking about divorce. And it's like,
Do you just want to get divorced?
I really want to do shows. It's like, okay, but it sounds to me that you're retrofitting your love for comedy as a reason to possibly separate from your wife. When maybe you just want to separate from your wife.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
That's the case. I'm just saying that it sounds like that is a possibility here. Because it seems crazy to me to separate from your wife just to do shows.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just how I feel personally about it.
Let me put it this way. I eat, breathe, live, sleep, sweat live performance comedy. It is not my job. It is genuinely who I am.
Yes.
I am I am like that. I am a version of performing comedy in almost all of my interactions.
You know why
to a person, I want them to laugh.
You know why I
try
to
laugh?
Because half the time when you and I are talking through a window pane, we could have microphones.
Right.
Because this is a very, not perfect, not that there isn't things we don't share on these microphones, but this is a very close one-to-one who Daniel is, who Rory is.
It's why this works, yes.
Yes. So it's
and
like...
Because it is a this is who we are type thing, and when I talk to people, that is what I am trying to pull out of them. It's what I'm trying to give them, and it isn't also like... And I have to say, like, making someone laugh feels so good. So here's what's so great about it. They laugh, and that is undeniably, scientifically, firing off something in their brains that does, for maybe a very short period, makes them feel good. And I mean a second. But it also makes me feel very good. So I don't want to make it sound like I'm some sort of, you know, Johnny Appleseed with good feelings. I'm also in it for me. It does feel very good.
Yeah.
All that having been said... If you said I had to stop doing that or I'd lose my family, I would stop doing that and I would not leave my family. And in a way, via quarantine, I'm in a position where I've somewhat had to stop doing that to be with my family. I'm fortunate enough that I didn't have to risk it by doing shows that maybe are able to happen or shouldn't happen just to make money because I would need to do it. Because honestly, that is what I do to make money. I can't, I don't know other things career-wise that I would maybe do to make money. There are plenty of jobs I would try to go and get that I've done my whole life, but I would stop. I would stop it. And I would go, all right, my new comedy is merely talking to people and trying to get them to laugh. Because I can't leave my family.
Right.
Now, if me and my wife do not have a good marriage, I am not going to stop doing stand-up comedy.
Right.
So that's me.
Right.
But if you have a good marriage, there's no way this comedy thing can
come before
the marriage. But I also want to say this. If you have a good marriage... There's no way your wife would try to stop you from doing something that you love. I'm not trying to put it on this person going, I'm going to leave my family for that. She should be supportive. And I'm not saying she's not. Granted, we don't get to read her letter.
Right. I'd love to.
She should be supportive of your position. And you have to be realistic, perhaps at least at the time, about your position and her job, you know?
That's the thing.
There's like, a lot of variables. Like, you know, yes, people need income. So yes, she has a job. He has a job.
Based off our lives and our relationships, you and I could be in a position where we're getting to do stand up in October, right?
Yeah.
This person might have to go, look, based off what my wife does, until this shit gets super new normal, like, it's just like we do get to the place where it is deadlier than the flu, but we get to a place where it's almost treated like the flu. Like we have vaccines, have treatments, like eventually
somewhat flippant about it.
Yes. Yeah. So for me, that might be February 2022, but you know what? Because of what my wife does. So I got to wait till then. Dude, I'm going to tell you this. Unless you're a fucking hack, which it doesn't sound like you are. Unless you're somebody who's pretending to do comedy, which means you figured out, it's like a magic trick. You figured out how the rings connect and you figured out how to take them apart. You figured out that part, but you aren't fucking David Copperfield. You'll still be able to do it in a year. So yeah, if your timetable's a little bit longer, I personally, not professional, not a marriage counselor, not a therapist, none of that shit. It's worth, like, that's your situation. You just got to wait a little bit longer. Like, yeah. Now, if you're using this as a vehicle to get you into a brand new driveway, be honest with yourself about that.
Great, great wordsmithing. Thanks, great wordsmithing.
Be honest with yourself about that.
I got a bunch of you want a new driveway?
No, you've already got a great car.
Right.
I want to put you in a new driveway today.
Because some people get divorced and they love each other. Yeah. They just didn't want the same life anymore.
I'm not reading that the marriage is great. I don't want to be, again, I don't want to assume things.
Right.
I'm not reading that's great.
I'm not.
But also, I'm reading a letter. I'm not listening to a person and hearing
and
the inflection.
Don't know either
and
one
stuff
of them.
Yeah.
But I'm not either.
Yeah.
I think we have a person who went through a very traumatic thing. Has put in a lot of time and effort to deal with that thing. This is where I'm going to make a big guess, may be feeling like they lost a lot of time.
Yes.
They've put a premium.
And for a very unfortunate reason. My heart breaks for you. No, you should never have had to experience that.
Has put a lot of weight into all that time they missed and feels like they, now that they are in a better, healthier place, nothing can get in the way of them getting that time back.
Yes.
And I'm not going to say that all of that feeling is invalid, but I'm also not going to say all that feeling is valid. So right. I think we're possibly, if you made me guess, we're dealing with somebody who's like, yeah, but I get to do this again and I don't want anything to get in the way of that because I've worked so hard. Feel you. But that may be where you also came out a little bit of a different person on the other side of it and say, I love this woman and she loves me, but we just don't want the same life anymore. Maybe.
I want to throw this out there too. And again, I'm not trying to make assumptions. Mm-hmm. It's just what I'm reading. And also I'm reading into something.
Mm-hmm.
But you have done it over 3,000 times. And your wife has seen you perform twice.
Okay, that's a whole other thing to me.
And she does not like your comedy.
She does not like your comedy.
But you're telling me she's also not tried to stop you from performing. Not really until lately. There is a world where your wife is like, fuck these Zoom shows. And I got to tell you, from one comic to another comic, I might be on her team. I might be on her team.
How much have you and I done stand up in the past 12 months?
I've done it 3 times. Yeah. Are you taking over the living room? Right. And she's like, I don't want to fucking do this tonight. And you got your Zoom show. Again, I have no idea if that's what's happening.
Right.
But if you've done it 3,000 times, she's come twice. She doesn't like your sense of humor. I don't know what the relationship is. I'm just reading that there's some rifts in that relationship. If that's not the case and you guys have an amazing marriage, here's what I think. You just slightly tap the brakes. You know, like when you see a stop sign and you're like, why gas it up to a stop sign? Why don't I stop 200 yards back and coast?
Right.
Coast for a little bit. Coast until the world is safer to go back out and you can look at your wife and go, I've been vaccinated. You've been vaccinated. Your clients have been vaccinated. Every single adult in this country who wants to get vaccinated has been vaccinated.
Right.
If at that point she's like, I still don't want you to do it, then you have a different issue. You have someone who's not supportive of the thing that you are currently obsessed with.
Right.
And I have to tell you, that doesn't make her a bad person.
No.
It doesn't mean
you want different lives.
Truly doesn't mean something negative. Mm-hmm. The positive is your wife is just being your wife and she is who she is and you are who you are. You know, asking her to suddenly change who she is to support something she doesn't is like you stopping stand-up when it's something that you love.
Right.
So I would say pump the brakes, wait for things to kind of come back. I personally am starting to feel a light at the end of the tunnel. Daniel and I both know, we read about it all the time. Everybody does. Vaccinations are ramping up. We're at, 55 million in the United States. Yeah. We're roughly at 10%.
They moved up. They moved up the date from end of June to end of May for hoping.
May. Yeah. We're so close to having a better perspective of what the fall can look like. So I would say, aim for the fall, and just take it easy right now. If I'm right about the Zoom shows, maybe scale back on the Zoom shows and come to a compromise with her. Like, I need to perform.
Yeah.
And just tell her you gotta perform. So then pick which Zoom shows, and maybe not all the time. If you're going up all the time during this, you know.
But Rory?
Then maybe it's, yeah.
She's not a fan. I mean,
she doesn't like it. But she's also, I'd like to say, she's also seen it twice.
She's not a fan.
My wife has seen me perform twice. Today. And I walked off the stage, and she went, and she was right. But she also came enough times to know that who I am and what I am and what I'm capable of is not, it's just, well, that's tonight. That was tonight. It didn't happen tonight.
Your wife has seen you perform way more than twice.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
Right.
But because she's seen me more than twice, she knows, oh yeah, no, I've seen it when it's at its best. Right. So I know that it's good.
But that's a partner.
There's a chance your wife has not seen it enough times to know. And she has mistakenly concluded, too quickly.
I'm going to guess it's not for lack of opportunity.
It's definitely not for a lack of opportunity, but
they probably worked well together when they could both operate in their own world. And yep. This pandemic has made people who operate together independently operate together.
That's why you got to coast.
And I think a lot of people are like, oh, I don't, your life is now affecting my life and I don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are having to figure that out.
Yeah.
A lot of people are having to figure that out.
I would dig a little deeper.
But I want to tell you what.
Follow up. I want to hear back.
From Luca. Daniel and I appreciate your support. And, you know, to some degree, there's so much in this letter that we have related to at parts of our career.
And life.
The obsession over this job is, it's life-changing. And it feels so good when you discover the thing that you are truly passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I don't envy the fact that you have to put some very important things on scales and figure some things out. But based on what you have written in this letter and not what we're reading into, I'd say pump the brakes, have some conversations.
Big time.
See what September looks like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the best advice I got.
We're going to get
a lot of vaccine. And I am a professional therapist.
Marriage is over.
Okay.
I don't want anybody to be unhappy. I'm just saying I feel like it's bigger than what it is. That's just me.
But you know what? Luca, you're going to hear this. Let us know.
Yeah.
Let us know. Respond. Get back to us.
Right.
And if other people have advice or whatever, you guys know how it works over on the page.
Agreed.
Get at me. Sincerely. Wait, we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Scovel
and Daniel Neal Kirk.
If it wasn't so long ago.
A podcast network.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
on that because this is
people that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in exactly. to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. which is different than empathy, yeah. right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.